Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Thanks, Maggie. Hey, Mark, how are you?
Good, I'm good. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. Just mention briefly the two courses that are coming up.
Yeah, we've got courses in April 20th and 21st at the Cleveland Clinic and June 20th through 23rd at the Maryland Academy of Family Physicians. You can go online to the Cleveland Clinic meded.com site or the mdafp.org site and
Great.
Learn more about them.
This week we're going to look at pregnancy. We haven't looked at pregnancy in an abstract in a number of months. This is an article from the BMJ. Just a little bit of background here. Currently, the United States ranks 22nd in the world in terms of infant mortality, behind such other countries as Japan, Singapore, Finland, England, Canada, Sweden, and Switzerland. In fact, the infant mortality for the lowest-ranked country, which is Japan, was half the infant deaths compared to the United States, 4.5 compared to 8.6 for the United States. Now, there are some interesting tidbits as well. For example, only 76% of women began prenatal care in the first trimester in the United States. This proportion of women has been essentially unchanged since 1980. So what's happening at the time of delivery? Where are we going wrong? Who gives the care? And where do women deliver their babies? What we know is that women whose pregnancies are managed by midwives generally receive excellent care with lower rates of costly medical interventions, things like cesarean sections, vacuum and forceps deliveries, induction of labor, ultrasound, and continuous fetal monitoring. The number of births delivered by midwives has increased enormously over the past 15 or 20 years. Last point is that although several Canadian medical societies and the American Public Health Association have adopted policies promoting and acknowledging the viability of home births, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecologists, we often call them ACOG, still oppose it. This week's abstract that Mark picked for us, as I mentioned, is from the BMJ. It asks an important clinical question, which is for pregnant women at low risk for complications. So again, a subset of all women who are pregnant, but those at low risk, is at-home birth or birth center delivery a safe option? Mark, what did they find?
We don't do a lot of poems, particularly for the podcast on pregnancy care, because only a minority of primary care docs are involved in that. But I think this is something we probably do end up in conversations with our patients and even with family and folks in the general public about. So I thought it was worth talking about. This is a British study, as you mentioned, and they identified over 64,000 women who delivered in the UK over a two-year period. Now, they were all low risk. Like you said, none of them had a history of preterm labor. They were all single gestations. They all received adequate prenatal care. And I think just for context, 92% of deliveries take place in an obstetrical unit here in the U.S. In this British population, 26%, about one in four of the deliveries were at home, 17% were in a freestanding midwifery clinic, 26% were in a midwifery clinic attached to an OB unit, and only 31% were in an OB unit. So that compares with over 90% in the U.S. So there was a nice range of sites, and that makes for an interesting study. They didn't have any loss to follow-up. They didn't lose any babies. They followed them all, and they accounted for all the deliveries at the end of the study. The primary outcome was a combination of perinatal mortality, stillbirth, early neonatal death, encephalopathy, brachial plexus injury, meconium aspiration, or fracture. I do have a quibble. I mean, I think there's a big difference between the first few that I mentioned and meconium aspiration. Okay, so I think that's, I'm not sure I would have thrown that one in there. The overall incidence, though, of these outcome events was 4.3 per 1,000 births, and overall there was no significant difference in outcomes between the sites. For the NULLIPs, the likelihood of a bad income was higher with home delivery than with an OB unit. So if you compared home delivery with OB unit in the subset who were NULLIPs, they did have a higher risk of these adverse events. There were also, on the other hand, folks delivering or in the OB unit had more interventions during labor. You know, they've got all these stuff to do, so they do stuff. Pregnant women, so I think the bottom line is that for multiferous women, they found, who are low risk and who are getting adequate prenatal care, they found that home delivery, freestanding midwifery units were a safe alternative. NULIP women, where we kind of don't know what their birth history, you know, will be, what their birth experience will be like, they were at a higher risk of bad outcomes when giving birth at home.
Mark, it is a UK study. Is there any reason a priori that we would think that this would be different if we did the study here in the United States?
I don't know the extent to which midwifery clinics are similar to those here, and you know, the home birth practices are similar to those here. It's a good question, and I couldn't tell from you know, the study, and I probably don't have the experience with those kind of units and delivery options here in the States to say for sure. You know, certainly. I think there is pretty good data from, in fact, very good data from midwifery units attached to OB units or freestanding midwifery clinics here in the States that they are a safe option for low-risk, multiferous women.
Very useful, Mark. We'll talk with you again next week. Thanks so much and a good study.
All right, thanks.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.